Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of No Small Roles, a D&D podcast where there are no small roles but plenty of pricks. I'm talking what? Tattoo needles. Tattoo needles, obviously. I'm David Knight, your Dungeon Master, and I'm joined by these Abracalads. It's unfortunately a thing. You've made it a thing.
34 magic
book. I'm going to roll a d20 now. Look, I rolled an 18.
Make it 34.
Flashy genius.
Go on, it's our investigation. Anyway, whilst we continue to jab into Orin, let's cue the theme tune.
Prepare your party of players and polyhedral dice. Your tragic backstory better be worth the sacrifice. Seize your sheets and d20.
Let's play D&D.
Your haggard character swaggers with daggers in each hand. You've all discussed what you must, but even best laid plans. Take a turn when checks are missed.
Roll initiative. Brandish your blades. Don't fail your saves. No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is your story. No guts, no glory. Confront your fate with every roll. Every
inside, one who will pay the price. Their chance of success will rest upon the dice. No risk too great, no choice too bold.
This is No Small Roles.
So, traveling toward Medrivane to sign up for the Twaintide Tea Tournament, you spent some time further discussing what you'd learnt in the Wingthrup's workshop and how best to dispose of the two elemental batteries you still possessed. After the explosive release of an air elemental, you decided against opening the fire elemental battery till a more suitable location could be found. You turned instead to the wands Gaius had collected, and with Enkidu's clever application of sympathetic magic, you managed to power them without the need of batteries, learning what each wand was capable of doing. Juna acted as messenger for the party, sending messages to Dwayne, Gwendolyn's father Selamund, and Ginger. Orin offered his notebook to Enkidu, who wrote to Scarpus, a kindly woman who had cared for him as a child. As you approached your destination, the party stopped for one last rest. Juna prepared some inks to tattoo herself with Ginger's words, before turning to Gaius and tattooing him with a quote to memorialize his mother. And that's where we pick up. So, yeah, you're all settled in on the road. From sort of the speed you've been travelling, you know that basically a couple of hours into tomorrow, you're going to be arriving in Medrivane. So is there anything, any last on-the-road bits you want to be doing?
Would anyone else like a tattoo while I'm in the zone?
Oh, I would love to have one, if I may.
Of course. What would you like, Gwen?
I'd like two little ones, just some symbols. Perhaps I could have a blue lightning bolt.
Oh, yes, I've got the blue ink prepared right here. Yes.
Fantastic. And a laurel leaf. Just a small one. And if they could both be in a circle each, I think that would look really lovely.
Yeah. So that was a blue lightning bolt and a laurel leaf.
Yes, and in each in a circle.
Each in one circle between them, or a circle each?
Circle each, please.
And both in blue?
The laurel leaf could be in kind of a yellowy gold.
Oh, yeah, I've got yellowy gold as well.
Oh, fantastic.
It's very handy.
Lovely, yes.
Juna goes to work and she creates the design while sort of going to Gwen. Is this all right? Is this all right? Is this all right? Like sort of checking in.
Yeah, absolutely. Ouch. Ooh, hurts more than I thought.
A little bit of a pokey pain, but don't worry, that'll all be fine.
It's strange, I can take a good old punch, but this actually kind of hurts.
just as law, Gaius fainted within 5 seconds.
Gwendolyn struggling with the little pricks.
Don't we all, Gwen? Oh, don't we all, Carhilda?
Oh, yes, Carhilda, yes. Must get used to calling myself that.
So, yeah, Juna does that.
Thanks.
For Carhilda.
Ooh, my first tattoos.
So cool.
Enkidu, Warren, would you like anything?
No, thank you, Miss Epthorn.
No, I'm all right. As I say, I think this is enough for now, he says, looking down at his mark on his arm.
Do you know what, Carhilda? Now that you've had this tattoo, we truly are the Fate Marked Five, aren't we?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So we've all got some sort of fate mark now.
Yes. Yes, I think these have fateful memories. So I like it.
Yeah. Huh.
Oh, look, the path.
Orin, do you want these back, Orin? Do you want these tattoo things back, or...?
Oh, yeah, I might have to for the moment, if that's all right. Never know, I might need to turn them into something else later.
If it's all right with you, I might borrow them again at a later date, and I got some ideas for some more tattoos at a later date.
Yeah, I can always always happy to give them back or make them again if I've had to recycle them.
Thank you, Warren. It's very kind.
Maybe I can work on a more permanent set for you in the future. These were just a bit of a rush job,
They
did the moment. Did for the moment.
And for the record, Juna puts all of the leftover lavender in the caddy of holding, so there's plenty of it.
Nice.
For finding familiar.
So, yeah, the night passes. You each have a long rest with nothing dramatic happening. You each take turns sort of sitting up with Enkidu, who is obviously awake.
Yeah.
Or unless, do you try to sleep at all, Enkidu?
No.
You're just quite happy, sort of...
Just, yeah.
Contemplating Pat going into, like, power down mode. Yeah.
Hmm.
But the morning comes, and like I say, there's been no disturbances during the night. Everyone's had a fairly peaceful sleep on the side of the road. Not even that many travellers coming through in the early hour of the morning. And you will continue on the way.
Just a tiny bit of housekeeping. When we wake up in the morning, our teapot goose is back and ready to make the breakfast Twain Tide.
Nice.
I want to summon a packed weapon to see if I could just hold on to something for the day.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, a six. Natural six.
Natural six.
You dumb bastard. Oh,
Abraca lads.
That's a different character sheet.
Don't make me make it a seven.
What would that
short
even
sword.
Do?
It is Gil's. Oh, it's light short sword.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, a seemingly simple weapon. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can feel some of their energy in it as it summons into your hand.
Perfect.
So yeah, you all gather your stuff, pack up your camp, and head on. And like I said, within a few hours, the town of Medrivane comes into view. It's draped across, as you're coming round, like the northern shore of the river. This city is draped across it, across the River Med. Low, it's wide. There are a few odd towers that are rising above the rooftops, but to be honest, they almost seem quite arrogant compared to like the squatness of the rest of the buildings. From your view as you come on round, you can see that the shores in amongst the buildings are filled with boats, and there's a constant like flow of ferries crossing backwards and forwards. And then even as you sort of approach, The streets are very wide, bustling with people. There's sort of, as you sort of walk through past the first few buildings, there's a courier dashes past in her wheelchair. There's a couple of orcish brothers just staring longingly in a tailor's window. There's small groups of travellers who've kind of joined you as you've entered the city, but they're chatting loudly, looking for taverns and inns and things. About maybe 10 minutes into the buildings, you do have a slight pause because you pass a weathered statue of a very familiar-looking woman dressed in billowing clothes with her hand out, and on it is balanced a triangle with a cog at each corner.
Oh my gosh.
Oh. Yeah, that noise, as you all realise that, yeah, this is a little memorial to Erida.
Oh my gosh.
In the entrance of the city there for you.
Oh, great.
I mean, it's not the most, like, flattering angle, I'd say, but, you know, it's nice.
Oh.
Great.
Yeah. He looks less omniscient in this one.
Could almost pretend that she was dead and gone.
Yeah.
Ruan is going to sit on the shoulder of the statue and poop.
Yes!
Nice.
And Kidu then gets electrocuted.
Gaius gives a few clicks in, like, approval.
Snaps
for Ruan. Is there a plaque underneath the statue or anything?
There's not, actually. No, not under this one. Like I say, it does look quite an old statue. It's fairly weathered. In a similar way that when you were in Tillisham, there was the statue to Kralovin Savelt. This one, it maybe doesn't look as old as that. It's maybe been a little bit better kept. But, you know, like sort of the more prominent features and details on her robes and on her face have kind of been faded away a little bit. So, yes, whilst obviously the five of you can tell that it's her, it doesn't seem like it's been kept well in any way.
Gwendolyn kind of like looks at it and tries to like move and see if the eyes are following her or following them.
Mm-hmm.
The eyes doing anything.
They're not. No, they're, okay. For you think maybe they are because just of the way like the optical illusion of like a statue is, but no, she doesn't seem to be staring at you. It seems to be a very normal stone statue.
Okay. She like very kind of quickly sticks her tongue out at it.
Do I notice that Kyhilda has done this?
Yeah.
as she does this, you'll see from the statue a little tongue just pokes out back at her.
Gwendolyn screams.
And Kidu just goes
amazing. So what are you guys doing in the city? Are you going to head straight for the Knotted Strings? Are you going? Do you want to explore a little bit first?
Oh, is that where the first pub is, the Knotted Strings?
Yeah.
It'd be nice to see where the Knotted Strings is. Maybe we can grab a strawberry daiquiri or two.
Oh, yeah. Check out the competition, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Find out what this challenge is going to be and get the lay of the land. It's exciting to be in a new city, even if we have that reminder. But...
Mm.
I'd like to know more about the town.
Yeah.
It's a common stereotype that every time people enter a town, they hit the pub first. sorry, I'm talking about myself.
It's a common stereotype that I live out every day.
I spend my summer in pubs, my winter in pubs.
Someone has spent their summer travelling the pubs of Southwest England.
Yeah. Well, there's so much culture in this city, Daryl. Daryl? Oh, look, where's Daryl gone?
There's the pub.
It's just spending time with the normal people, isn't it, Daryl?
Exactly. Yeah, if there's some kind of like library or something, just to pick up a bit of material.
Maybe a museum.
What was that? A museum would be nice.
Oh, yes, I haven't been to a museum in, well, ever.
Ever. No,
we didn't have any museums in Brighton, but I've read lots of books about them. And that was one of the things I was most excited about to go to in the city. But we've not managed one yet. We've been a bit busy.
Yeah, we have.
Just so I'm clear as well, because we got to have like 500 G's to get into this place, right?
No, that's the price.
Yeah.
That's what we're playing for.
Sorry, yep.
Is there an entry price? I don't remember.
I just think it was 50
gold per team.
I just skimmed the.
And do we have that? Do you have that guy from your?
Yeah.
I guess money is the best.
Yeah, it's absolutely. It's not Chris.
It's not Gaius.
We're making it a Gaius trade.
It's a.
I have 1,000 gold.
Yeah. I skimmed the poster and I it said in need of 500 gold pieces ? But I just said need 500 gold pieces. I was like, oh my God, this is a costly competition.
No, luckily it's only 50 gold for us to get in. Actually, that's the point. What's the date today? DM, do we know what the date is today?
Yeah, so it is the first day of Stilson.
Oh, that's right. Today's the tournament.
Today is the sign-up day.
There's a small oik over there saying it's the first day of Stilson.
First day of Stilson.
I think that's the day that the competition begins. So
I've never seen someone stand in the middle of a square and just shout out the date. It's very strange.
Do things differently here.
Normally you have to ask like passing boys if it's Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or something. That's what I'm having.
Is it, young boy?
Why? It's
the first day of Stilson.
We haven't missed it.
We better get going then.
Coming to a Fuller's Pub near you, Ben Galpin is Ebenezer Scrooge. Oh,
probably this very month. Please cut that if the tour doesn't happen.
Maybe we should go and sign up.
Yes,
and then
make sure we don't
miss
out. Then
we can go and have an explore.
Yeah, look out for that library that NKD you mentioned.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because the last time we were in a library went so well, didn't it?
Well, we found some interest. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, as they're walking around the town, Gwendolyn is keeping an eye out for any posters that are the missing posters.
Ooh, yeah.
Juna is doing the same.
Make one of you make an investigation check with advantage.
Okay. May I? Because
you may.
Yeah. Okay.
Unnatural 20.
Actually, no, you don't see. And like, there are a couple of like post boards and community boards and things as you're walking through the streets. But giving a quick scan of all of the notices and things that they've got on there, a lot of it's like stuff that people are selling or like odd jobs, like looking for like plumbers and things like that, carpenters. But there doesn't seem to be any. In amongst the like missing posters, your face is not there on any of the boards that you can see.
Fantastic. Yeah, you see Carhill does start to get a lot more like, just to see this kind of level of tension start to like kind of melt off her a little bit. Like, she's still keeping her eyes open, but she just kind of start, you know, that kind of like as soon as you step off the plane and you're on holiday, I think she's starting to like walk with that sort of like walk of just like starting to go, okay, all right, okay, this is a new place, it's exciting, cool.
GM, while they're doing that investigation, can Guy also be looking out for just to see if anybody is like clocking the group or keeping tabs? I'm conscious that we've come from quite a tense area, and I feel like Guy has still got that sort of like
hairs
on the back of his neck feel.
Give a perception check for that one.
Okay, it's a natural 13, so that's good. Ooh. Perception plus 4, so that's gonna be 17.
So, as you're sort of walking in, there is another group of 5 not too far behind you, which they do seem to be looking over at you and chatting a little bit, but as you kind of are continuing walking, and they are kind of following your path a little bit, you just get the impression that they're possibly, or probably, a competition. It looks like they might also be going to sign up, so, and from the little bits of, like, conversation that you can hear, they're trying to judge whether or not you know where you're going, or if you're even involved in the tournament or whatever. But apart from that, no, like general crowds and things, nobody else seems to be paying you much attention. I mean, there's the odd like hawker that jumps out and tries selling you something, but not in a threatening way. Everything just seems very normal.
Cool. Okay.
Is there any sign of Firion, Cade, or Rosie?
Yeah.
No, Cade? You've not seen them as you enter. No.
Can we hear a moody, deep voice? Spoons. Spoons.
No, you've not seen them at all.
Cool. While we're making our way to the tavern,
yeah,
can I use an ability that Oren's never used?
Sure.
City secrets, that I can find my way through a city twice as fast as normal, spotting side alleys and hidden routes that others would miss.
That's so Oren.
Yeah.
What a lad.
Abracalad.
Abracalad.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. What I'll say is, as part of like checking the community boards and things, there is one that's almost got like a little diagram of the city on it for you, with the knotted strings actually marked on there. So you figure like from where you are to where it is, you're like, oh, I know a more direct route than following like the main paths.
Cool.
So at one point, Oren just starts turning down alleyways, which are much narrower and less busy and also kind of have an unsettling feel to them, but he seems incredibly confident that he knows where he's going. And yeah, within like half an hour of walking through all the buildings, you come out onto again another wide thoroughfare, and a few doors down from where you've appeared is a very large building with a big sign across sort of the center of it. This is like a three-story building, and almost across the entire second floor are the words "The Knotted Strings" painted into the brickwork, with loads of little like decorative knotted strings around the lettering. But if that alone wasn't enough to draw your attention, the queue of people outside of the building definitely is.
I hate queuing. Can I just ask a bit of a lore question? How much would we know about the cycle of strings?
Make a religion check.
Good question.
16?
Yeah. If anybody else wants to make a general check to see if, like, a general, religion check to see how much they know.
I feel
22
weird about doing religion checks when there's a bloody CPU inside me somewhere. But why not? I just want to roll my big purple dice.
Yeah.
Can we use erudite as like a verb, like Google? Just erudite it.
Just erudite it. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a cost to that. Religion. So I rolled a 17, so it's a 16.
I rolled a 17 as well, but it's a 22.
But you're an abracadabra lad, so it's a 17.
No, it's a 22. Yeah. Yeah. 22.
Don't make me make it a 27.
Oh, here we go. Flash of genius, abracadabra lad.
Deja.
I'm not wasting my flash of genius on that.
I got a 4.
So on the base level, which even Gwen Carhilda would know, the cycle of strings refers to basically the goddess of death. And like a sort of a cycle of rebirth. Everybody kind of knows that. Those of you that got the higher results, you know that what that means is the idea that you can relive your life. So any choice that you make is just one possibility of something that you're experiencing, and that there are other possibilities. And in another version of your life, things could have gone very differently by making a different choice. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the understanding of it. And obviously, you know that like priests of the Shrouded Lady like can almost like guide people into seeing some of those other options in some ways. Like that's what they preach, is that like don't stress about what the choices that you've made, because they're not the only choice you've made, if that makes sense.
That's just the choice you've made in this particular cycle of the strings.
Yeah, so things like the knotted strings, you know, comes from that idea. It comes from a cycle of strings, like vernacular. In the same way that, for instance, if someone were to say, "Oh, I'll cut your strings," that's a threat. That's like, I'm going to kill you. So yeah, you've got an awareness of that.
Does like the fact that it's a knotted string kind of mean that like they've got entwined in some way, or is that reading too much into it?
It's just, that it's knotted, so it's this particular point in your string.
A bit of both.
Stay there.
Like, so if again, like it's a sort of an idiom that if you were to say that two people's strings were knotted, it means that they're like fast friends, or you know, lovers, or something like that. It's got those connotations as well. But in the same way, yeah, it's like it's a fixed point in time, or it's like a group of people sort of joining together.
Quite a peculiar name for a pub or an inn, the Knotted Strings. Quite esoteric and almost like, I don't know, religious twang to it. I thought it would be like Knotted Strings.
Like,
I mean, I'm not disputing that at all. It's a wonderful name. Just thought it'd be like strings as in like bard strings. Bards like to play in pubs and inns.
But the last tavern we were in was the Saucy Sausage, or what was it?
The Sticky Sausage.
The Sticky Sausage.
Name for the floor.
Very different type of tavern.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because the sort of people that you meet in this pub become the sort of people that your strings are tied to.
Yeah.
I guess our strings have become knotted. I don't know.
Very much so.
That sounds weird now I've said it.
Tangled.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That tends to happen with strings.
It does. It makes my brain hurt. I don't really understand it all.
Yeah.
Oh, look, the queue.
Are we gonna do the queue, or are we gonna try and push in?
Guys, it's okay. I got this.
Nope, bias.
All right.
Okay.
I'm gonna walk up to right at the front of the queue, just about to enter into the tavern. Just be like, "Excuse me, sorry, we're part of the security detail. We gotta get through here because you know they've asked for some mega extra you know, people to come in, you know, because it's getting a bit busy lately, and the contractor said they need us to hit there ASAP, which is, you know, our sort of trade talk for as soon as possible. So if you wouldn't mind, please just scooching on over. You could just scooch. There's scooching room over there. Just scooch on by and we can go on through and do our job.
You can make a deception check, please.
Yeah, sure thing.
Thank you, Lucas. Pass without a trace to disappear in embarrassment.
That's a 22.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, amazing. Bad.
Yeah, sort of the people at the front of the queue, like just entering the door, almost as soon as you just start, like from the first like security detail, they're like, oh God, sorry. Yeah, just stepping out of the way. And like, they look really quite sheepish and nervous anyway, and kind of excited that they're a little bit too distracted in their own conversations that they pay you any attention. So you march right the way through. Is everybody following?
Yes.
You march through. And again, just with the confidence of Gaius, just like walking through the queue, everybody just seems to be moving out of the way. There's one or two that are like, oh, why are they pushing? No, what? But they let you pass anyway.
Julie just turns around and says, security.
Yeah, the little gnome, just like security.
And you actually reach the front of the queue, which inside of the tavern, like the queue kind of like curls around a little bit, so it avoids the bar. So there's still people sort of sat and drinking. You can see some other teams that have already signed up who've clearly gone and then and bought a drink or something. But the queue itself leads round to a side table, which is under a banner that says Twain Tide Tea Tournament sign up sheet. Oh. And there's a small woman sort of sat on a fairly high chair. She's human. She's got sort of tan skin, but she looks to be like mid 70s, gray hair. Just kind of like flowing down her shoulders. But she's happily chatting away to one team, has them all sign up, and then beckons for the five of you to approach.
Hello, young lady. Would you like to sign up for the competition, please?
I've not been called young lady in quite a while. Yes, you're signing up for the tournament, is it?
Yes, please.
Yes. Wonderful, wonderful. Right. What's the name of your team, please? Are you aware of all the rules? Sorry, should have started with that.
Yeah, please start with the rules.
Yes, please. Tell us the rules.
The rules. Right, brilliant. She pulls out a sheet of paper and slides it straight over to you. And on this piece of paper, it says Twain Tide Tea Tournament at the top. And there's a map of different locations on it. And then a full description of stuff. I handed it over to you all. So whoever would like to read it out, please feel free.
All right. Twain Tide Tea Tournament. Fastest team to arrive at the Ferrigold Tea Fields outside of Kissenbeck, with 10 spoons collected from associated taverns across the country, will be crowned Gervain's finest and win 500 gold pieces. Each team member may attempt each challenge just once to win a spoon for their team. Any counterfeit spoons found in your collection will be cause for instant disqualification. Each tavern will provide their own rules for each challenge. Laws of the land must be obeyed while travelling. There are no other rules.
Ooh.
Oh, at the bottom there are a list of associated taverns. Of course, Knotted Strings, where we are, the Noble's Nook, Drake's, Good Company, the Fancy Forager, and the Ferrigold Tea Rooms.
Oh, right. I mean, that sounds more like a tea room than a tavern, but
But there are places to... places of interest. Obviously, everyone else can see this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we have Medrivane, where we are. For Lost Vale, Verna Cries, Regalia, and Fossfall, and then of course Kissenbeck at the end.
So we need 10 spoons.
That's right.
Looks like there are more than 10 on this map.
Well, yes, because if you fail at one of the challenges, there's other possibilities.
Oh, right.
Oh.
Yeah.
And does a spoon equal a challenge?
Yes, for each challenge, you win one spoon. Each five of you, you'll get one chance each at the challenge.
Oh.
Oh.
So if you don't succeed, obviously, there's other challenges that you could try and still maybe win.
But as long as one of us succeeds at that challenge, we get the spoon.
Your team gets the spoon.
What if we all succeed?
Oh, no. Once one of you has succeeded, you don't have to play that challenge anymore.
Right.
In fact, you won't be allowed to.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And could you tell us anything about like the nature of these challenges? Maybe like, you know, tell us an example of a previous challenge from a previous competition.
Oh, well, I'll tell you the two that we've got here in town. We've got the Barrier Bridge. We've got the Bell Tower here. That's the two challenges that we've got associated with Knotted Strings. Barrier Bridge. We've got... you're new to Medrivane? Are you travellers? Have you been here before?
No, we haven't been here before.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, it's a wonderful bridge. built way back where, by the wing fraps, and it moves, see? And it, we can use it to stop ships coming in and out, especially any invaders and whatnot. And basically all you got to do is jump across the bridge. We've adjusted it, obviously, and try and get the spoon at the end of it. That's one of the challenges. The other challenge, we've got the bell tower down in Wall Way. That's to the south of the city there. Basically, all you got to do is lift a bell up a tower. Not too difficult. Ring the bell at the top and you get a spoon. All different kinds of challenges, see?
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Are they all really, like, physical challenges?
Not all of them, no, no. I mean, it would entirely depend on the location. You see, each tavern has, can decide the challenges there and of themselves.
All right.
Do you... You have to do it by yourself. Are you allowed to use any skills at your disposal that you might have?
Like I say, as it says on the sheet there, each challenge comes with its own set of rules. So it depends. Mm. Now, are you happy to continue signing up?
Yeah. Bring it on.
All right, wonderful. Sure. Do you have your 50 gold piece entry fee?
Look over
at Gaius.
Gaius. Gaius reluctantly gets out his coin purse and forks out 48. 49, 50 gold pieces onto the table.
Beautiful. Thanks. Wonderful. Thanks, wonderful, guys. Wonderful. Okay, so just to sign you up, she pulls out two sheets of paper, one which is clearly her copy and one which she's about to pass to you. But she says, what's your team name?
Abracalads.
Abracalads. How are we spelling that then, please?
A.
But an A that looks a bit like a star.
Yeah.
B.
All right, B. Star,
R
B.
A
R A
C A
C A
L A D
Z
S or Z, everyone.
Yeah, let's go for the Z.
No, that's not how it's spelled.
Abracalads.
Abracalads with a Z.
Yeah.
Yes. And the Z needs to look like a lightning bolt.
So star.
Oh, I'm on board now.
Okay, lightning bolt. So we've got star, B-R-A-C-A-L-A-D, lightning bolt.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
right.
Vicky's password for something as well.
How did you know, Ben? Now you've shared that with all our listeners and they can all get into all of my accounts now.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Next up, and she gestures over to a tray of stamps to one side. Each of the stamps has a completely different design on it. She says, if you could take one of those, and then I need you to stamp here and stamp here. That way, we can register that each of you, when you attempt the challenges, that your stamp has given it a go.
Oh. Okay.
Well, because this stops people from swapping things around, obviously.
But what, we each take one stamp, or we take
each
one...
Each of you take your own personal stamp there. Plenty to choose from.
Ooh, what do they look like?
And as you look over, there's a whole range of different symbols. Some of them are just shapes. Some of them are like little animal diagrams. Some of them are like... letters and numbers and things. There's a whole combination of anything.
Okay.
Is there anything that looks a bit like a wolf?
Yes, there is.
Carla Hilda's basically looking for something. There's kind of wolfish symbol on her leather bracelet from her mother. So she's looking for something similar to that.
I think that one's in profile, is that right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. There are a couple of like wolf images. Some of them are full wolves. Some of them howling at moons. Some of them nothing quite fits directly, but there are a couple of wolves, some of them staring straight ahead.
Yeah, she chooses the one that looks most fearsome.
Cool. And then she once you've picked out something, she gets you to write your name on both of the sheets and then put a stamp next to both of them.
Right, she writes Carhilda on both.
Mm-hmm.
Is there one with a seven petaled flower on?
I'm gonna make you make a perception investigation check for that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 21.
21. Yes. Yes, there is. There's one that looks eerily similar to the seven-petaled flower on your back.
So
it's not quite the same.
Junior is not going to pick it, but she just wanted to know that there was one there. Oh. She's going to pick an owl like Ruana.
Nice. Yes. And yet again, she gets you to write down your name on both the sheets of paper, make a stamp next to them.
Dum, dum.
Is there one that looks like a long-tailed weasel?
Yes, yeah, I'll say there is. Interestingly, there's a fair amount of weasel stamps. None of them have been chosen by other people for various reasons.
I'll go for the one with the biggest eyes.
Aww.
And the floofiest tail.
Yeah, you find a nice floofy-tailed weasel design. She gets you to stamp.
The symbol of Dram, was it? It was a woman, wasn't it?
Mm.
Oh, she was and mountains in a side. Forest? Mountains in a forest, yeah. Is there something that's kind of similar to that?
Yeah, again, there are a few feminine faces. There are some coins and things as well. Coin diagrams. Yeah, I'll say that there's something pretty close. Yeah, a woman in profile.
Looks like my star sign. I'll use this one.
Is there a key at all? Anything like a key?
Yeah, a couple of keys, a couple of crossed keys.
Yeah, okay.
You're more after a single key.
No, I can't. We're in the Knotted Strings Tavern, so a cross keys feels appropriate. Yeah, if there's a cross keys, we'll go with that.
Yeah, amazing. Marking that down for my own records, as this woman will be marking them down for hers as well.
Just getting into character.
Yeah, so once you've all signed up and, like, money has been exchanged...
Sorry, can I flower check the stamp with the seven-petal flower? I'm suddenly obsessed with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it actually a gnome?
Is it a gnome in disguise?
It's disguise self.
It's one of the evils of our world.
It's with charisma, isn't it?
Yeah.
18.
Yeah. You don't know, like, looking at the range of symbols and things in front of you, it really is just the widest range of designs that you can see there are across it. A few of them have got more religious iconography and things. So you're wondering, seeing this one, especially considering how close it is to the mark on your back, whether or not this is come from a book somewhere or whether or not it has some connection to something. You're not entirely sure. You're not getting like any aura or like anything from it, but It is definitely, looking at it closer and closer, even if unknowingly, it is definitely the seven-petaled flower.
Juno, like, runs her fingers over her new tattoo that she's just put on from the message from Ginger, picks up the other one, says, I'm really sorry, do you mind if I quickly change?
Yes, absolutely.
Sorry.
No worries at all.
Thank you.
She picks up, an ink pen, dips it in the ink pot, like, scrubs out the owl on both pieces of paper and goes, this one instead, is it?
Yes. Bit of a horticulturalist I am.
Oh, well, it's wonderful. I did a bit of that when I was younger.
Did you?
Oh, flowers.
David. Cruel man. Cruel, cruel man. Oh my god.
I amuse myself. Anyway. So, once that's all exchanged, yeah, she hands you one of the sheets, puts the other one into a folder and a file for herself. She says, those will be sent down to the to Kissing Beck just to make sure that everything's in order, like you've not had to exchange team members or whatever as you go along. But is there any other questions you've got before you get started? Oh, what's the time?
Does it start now?
Yeah, and she grabs your sheet back, looks up at a clock on the wall, and just scribbles down 12:06, and then hands it back to you.
Is that the time, DM?
That's our registration time.
Yep. So that's the time of day that it is. Just gone midday. And she goes, that's just so that if another team arrives, say, earlier than you or later than you, we can check who's the fastest team by your time, not by time of day. All right, everyone gets to sign up today.
Yeah.
You've just got to get to the Ferrygold tea fields by 12:06.
So it's a chipped race.
Yes.
What?
I think.
I'm just amazed there are clocks in Trevane.
Yes.
That's a
law well.
Drop.
I know.
Is it?
Well, actually, no, it's not. We should have clocks. What the hell? You have moving bridges. You should have something that tells us. Bloody aura. The guy from the ice island asks, has Trevane invented ice? Abracalad.
Abracalad. I like that Abracalad has crossed the meta border from an in-joke with us to in-world somehow.
In-world, yeah. It's amazing.
Just filtered through
it's
into
so
the world.
It's so strong.
The strings got knotted. And
she had a flash of inspiration and she got Abracalads.
No, it was Guy who came up with that.
DM, quick question, lore question. How many hours are in Dulamir Day?
Oh, it's a 24-hour clock.
24 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we have 8 days in a week, right?
8 days in a week.
Okay, cool.
How convenient.
Yeah. Makes it easier to count, really. But yes, yeah, so it's 24-hour day. So yeah, looking at it, like, yeah, you know that, yeah, it's just gone midday. So however many days it takes you to get to Kissing Beck, complete all these challenges, for instance, you've just got to do it by midday on that day. Otherwise, it kind of starts crossing into
an extra day on your on your challenge. Yeah.
Right. We better get cracking then.
What was that? We have to do everything in a day?
No. Not all in a day. No.
We get to the next place in 24 hours.
So if we arrive at 12:07, that's a whole extra day. If you see what I mean.
It's done in days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
And then anybody who arrives on the same day as you, they'll compare times to see who got there first. Yeah.
Well, okay.
So it might come down to the hours, to the minutes, even.
Yeah.
DM, as we are leaving the tavern and deciding which one we're going to do first, is there a quiet corner that nobody is noticing? Dark, shadows, maybe it's busy?
It's quite a busy tavern, this one.
Good. Okay.
So, yeah, you're welcome to go elsewhere.
I was going to say, what I want to do is I want to go into that busy corner and stuff like that, throw my hood up, and can I just cast Disguise Self to disguise myself as that woman? As the, like, person who's doing all the business side of it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Cool. And as we're going to leave the tavern, I'm just going to be like, right, I'm afraid that's it, everybody. We've had enough contestants for now. I'm afraid the slots are closed and the competition is now a closed race. So thank you for your interest, but that's all for today.
Are you doing that inside of the tower, just outside?
Outside, because there's a long line outside.
Cool. Can you make a deception check with advantage? Give advantage on this one. This
that is
tasty.
Brilliant.
Oh, I rolled 2 natural 18s.
Oh!
And so that's going to make it 27.
27. Oh, juicy.
Yes.
So yeah, there's definitely quite a few confused looks. There are 3 or 4 teams that kind of they're like, oh, and like wander away a little bit. But then there's quite a few others that'll be like, there wasn't a limit on it last year, Lucinda. What's going on?
Well, you know, higher ups, it's above the food chain for me. All I can say is the other associated taverns are livid at how many people I'm letting into the competition. All I can say is, it's not my fault.
But we've travelled all the way here.
I'm very, very sorry.
And like, again, there's frustrated looks and like, most of the crowd, there's one or two like stubborn teams that, it doesn't matter what you've said, they're just kind of like looking at you confused, but there's quite a few leaving.
How about this, my jubblies? Well, if you come in, drinks are on me!
Again, there's a small, like, pause from the crowd who are like, oh, all right, yeah, drinks are all right. And yeah, they start filing past you back into the tavern.
Are they just going to meet the real Lucy inside?
I know. I just I wanted to retcon that. I just wanted them to all go away, but they all didn't go away. So I was just like, okay, cause as much confusion as possible.
Gwendolyn is feeling really, like, bad for all those sad people who've just left and is just feeling really, like, that's really unfair.
Actually, as soon as they go inside and see the real Lucinda, they'll just sign up for the competition. So what was the point of that?
I just thought less competitors, you know?
A lot of them did just walk all the way over there. I feel really bad for them. They looked so excited.
Oh, well. Anyway, oh, look, the town.
Juno shoots Guy a wink as they walk away. And whispers in his ear, it would have been too much if I'd have turned her into a cat, wouldn't it?
How would you do that?
So that they don't walk into the right person. Oh, yeah. Should be a cat for an hour. But Juno doesn't do that. She just thinks about doing it and doesn't.
Better than a walrus.
Yeah.
DM, is there any sign of the trio from the Sticky Sausage around at all? Have we seen them?
Make a perception check.
Just happened to clock at any point their names on a sheet as well when we were signing up or anything like that? Oh dear. 7.
7. No, there's no sign of them. And even it's like, yeah, people are filing away. They're definitely not outside. You didn't see them in the tavern. Yeah, you didn't catch their names anywhere.
Cool. Thank you.
That's all right. So yeah, what you all do?
Let's go to this first challenge, shall we?
We've got an option of two.
Bridge or tower? Do we want to try and jump over a bridge or lift a bell up a tower? I mean, I think we're going to have to try both either way.
Yeah.
I mean, we can get over a bridge pretty easily.
We don't
know. Speak for yourself, Enkidu.
Big the gap is going to be in the bridge.
We can all get over the bridge. Oh, fine.
Let's go find out?
Let's go to the bridge. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when in doubt, you can fly.
Take it to the bridge!
Depends on the rules, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm also quite intrigued to see what a mechanical opening bridge is like.
To the bridge! Oren, take us a really nice fast way.
Oh, yeah, hang on. Oh, I think... actually, I think I saw the bridge on the map earlier. Hang on, I think it's this way.
Grace here, keeping you updated with all things No Small Roles related. Hello, crumpets, tea enthusiasts, and abracalads. A big thank you to all who sent in questions for the most recent recording of No Small Questions. It was such a joy getting together on Zoom and seeing some of our awesome patrons whilst superfan Sam got Daryl and Chris to spill the twaintide. Want to join us for a future recording? Then check out our Patreon at www.patreon.com/nosmallroles. Perhaps you want to support us in other ways? Then we would love for you to rate and review us on places like iTunes and Podchaser. It's such a great way of helping more crumpets find No Small Roles. Another brilliant way is word of mouth. If you love this show and know others that will too, then let them know about us. Want to interact with us? Then join our lovely Discord server where you can chat with us and fellow fans of the show. You can also find us at No Small Roles on Twitter and Instagram, and on Facebook, just search No Small Roles. Now, if you've not checked out our No Small Roles advent calendar on social media yet, you should. I must say, the Instagram feed looks particularly satisfying right now. You can find art, photos, audio clips of some of our favourite moments from the show, and we are making a sprinkling of our older Patreon posts public as a festive gift to all our wonderful listeners. It's a great way of getting a taste of what is available on Patreon as well. Episode 48 will be out on the 16th of January with a special guest in tow. We are very, very excited. So keep an eye on our social media to find out who will be joining us at the table. In the meantime, No Small Questions and Superfan Chats will hit the feed, and Patreons will be getting hold of part one of our Woden Isle adventure with Superfan Sam at the table and Ben Galpin in the DM seat before the year is out. Now, I will let you enjoy the rest of this, the last episode of 2021. And on behalf of myself and the cast, we wish you a merry heart of Springmas and luck bringer's blessing to you all.
Oren seems to be leading you down every narrow alleyway. At one point, you definitely think you've walked through someone's garden, but like you do, you find your way like sort of southward toward the river.
They need to work on their planting. That is not going to yield a lot of crop. That is.
But you do reach sort of the dockside, and as it sort of opens up again, the river is really quite wide, and so there are ferries like travelling people backwards and forwards. There are a few people crossing the bridge that you can see. There are also sections of the bridge that are clearly like marked off. As you get to the bridge, what you realise is that it is a whole series of tessellating triangles as posts that are rising out of the river. So, yeah, like that have created a walkway across from one side of the river to the other. As you get toward the centre of the bridge, again, these are like sort of brass triangles that you're walking on, creating like quite like a tip-tap thing as you're walking across. As you get to the centre of the bridge, you notice that half of the bridge, some of the triangles have dropped away, leaving others kind of like separated out. And there's still a walkway to one side for everybody else to get around, but there is... this little section has been marked off, and there is a fairly young looking woman, half elf, her hair sort of cut short into like a bob, with a small queue of people ready and waiting to play. And she's got a little table, she's got a stamp with inks, and she's keeping an eye on what you're watching. But as you approach, you see another chap jumping from pole to pole, triangle to triangle, trying to get out to a far distant pole that has a bunch of keys on it. However, as he lands on each of these poles, they seem to move quite suddenly and rapidly, upwards, downwards, and it's not long before he falls into the river.
I want to try this in real life, David.
Hey, Carhilda, this sounds exactly Yeah. Up your street.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, it looks interesting. I mean, I certainly want to give it a go. It looks good fun.
Yeah, I think go in first, Gwen, because it looks like you would boss this and then we can head off.
Find out what the rules are.
Yes,
come back and let's have a huddle about how we can do it.
Right.
Yeah, what are the rules, please, young chap?
Yeah, as you kind of like, push through to the woman at the front there, while she's sort of keeping an eye, she seems to be the only person on duty at this challenge. But you can then hear her reiterating rules to the next player who's about to tempt her, and she sort of stamps their piece of paper. And then, gestures over and says, just jump from each thing, grab a key, jump all the way back, and unlock one of these spoons, and it's yours. But of course, don't get wet is the rule. And magic is okay, but no flying, because if you fly, everyone watching will be allowed to mess with you, all right? And like sort of the next like contestant's like, sort of limbering up. Takes like two jumps to a pole, falls straight in.
Is that the only magic you're not allowed to use?
Oh, any magic is allowed, just no flying, because anybody watching will be allowed to just throw magic at you or things and knock you into the water themselves.
Mm. All right.
Okay.
Bother.
Okay. Don't get wet.
I had a bit of a design idea for some boots that would help people jump across something, but I'll probably need to sleep on it and have a think about how to make it in the morning if I was going to do that.
Okay. Well, that plan is unfortunately out because we only have a day.
No, we don't have a day, technically. We can take as long as we like.
Yes.
Mm. I would say, like, let's Carhelda have a go first, and then, you know, we could always... Just
is there anything that you lot can do to boost me in other ways?
How far away are the keys from where we start?
So looking at it, sort of again, like, because there is a viewing platform for a little crowd that's cheering and like cheering other players on, but also laughing hysterically whenever they fall in. As you look toward the further poles, you realize like that they're probably about sort of five jumps away. Hmm. You realize at that point that actually almost every pole has a key on it in some way or a little bunch of keys. Hmm. So yeah, you reckon it's at least five jumps of like non-key poles before you get to one with some keys on.
Juna puts her hands on Gwen's shoulders and Carhilda's shoulders and says, "You've got this," and gives her guidance for 1d4.
Hmm.
I don't know why I explained that. We all know what that means.
Yeah. I appreciate the explanation.
Yeah. How wide are the poles?
Again, you're looking at them. They're actually only about 3 feet apart from each other.
And the surface area of the stand...
Area, probably about a foot wide each. So they are quite narrow, enough that you can just about stand on.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely it's a tricky jump.
Oh, so you're like on top of the poles, like stepping stones, rather than like clinging onto the sides of them.
Yeah. It's like stepping stones out further into the river.
Oh, okay, hang on. I've got something that might help. Carhilda, can I borrow your boots for a second?
Sure, yeah. She takes them off, hands them
over. Lift up your feet or something like that. Oh, thanks. Okay. Yeah. Well, I was just looking at like how cats land a little while ago and sort of looking at their paws and stuff. Hang on. I reckon if I put a bit of this material on here, that's going to make it a little bit more like a cat's paw. Okay, hopefully that should do the trick. Maybe if we just attach a little bit of a bungee there to the back of your... There you go. Okay, that might do the trick to make it a little bit easier to jump around.
Okay.
Orin is casting Enhance Ability, Cat's Grace, to give you advantage on dexterity checks. Also, you don't take any damage from falling 20 feet or less if you're not incapacitated.
Wow.
Low fall anyway.
Yeah, I have.
I mean...
But advantage on dexterity saving throws.
Nope, checks.
Checks.
That's good.
Because
that's what you'll be doing.
Hopefully.
Is there a way, if I can make you fly, that you jump, that it looks like you're just jumping, but it just looks really high, and you slow fall your way down to a platform?
I'd rather not risk it, if that's all right, seeing as it's against the rules.
I've been pretty clear on the no flying magic.
I'd rather people not start attacking me whilst I'm trying to jump, but...
Fair.
I don't think you need the flying, Carhilda. I think you got this without...
If I use some of my key points...
How would I say that?
If I use some of my inner determination, then I can jump twice my normal jumping distance.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what my normal jumping distance is. How do you know what your jump distance is?
Because there are rules for that.
There are.
That I definitely know.
How far away is the final key?
It's about sort of 25, 30 feet, roughly.
Okay.
Worth of jumps, yeah.
Oh, worth of jumps, about to say. Like, well, mage hand. Just...
I was going to say, yeah, one jump. But no, like sort of to get across, there are.
And you've got to cross on the poles or use magic.
That's the challenge. Oh.
Maybe somebody could just go get one with Mage Hand.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of jumping as well. We can't, I mean, the more of us that try, the greater chance of success.
Well, but so, we can try one at a time.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't all have to go at once.
Could be a team thing.
I mean, I'd quite just like to have a go.
Yeah, I reckon, Carhilda, let's give it a go. If it doesn't work with you, we can learn from experience. We can try, you know, new techniques for next time.
Absolutely.
How big are the keys, DM? Just out of interest.
Normal size keys, like what we'd have as a house key. They're quite small, to be honest.
So big enough for an owl to maybe pick up?
Yeah.
Per se?
Yeah, and the, like the collection of spoons that are like kind of along a barrier, basically right by the table, they're all just padlocked on. So it's those kind of size keys. Definitely something that a bird could pick up.
Jumping. Your strength determines how far you jump.
Oh, fuck.
So a long jump, when you make a long jump, you cover a number of feet up to your strength score if you move at least 10 feet on foot immediately before the jump. What?
Won't be able to do that.
So if you run 10 feet, you make a long jump. And when you make a standing long jump, you only leap half that distance.
Are you sure we want it to be strength and not dexterity?
It's athletics.
I will allow for this an athletics or acrobatics
check.
Yeah.
Because it feels like a little bit of like, you know, balance involved in this.
Yeah.
And in this kind of thing, it's not necessarily that you're just trying to jump the distance. You're trying to jump onto something specific. Mm. So
yeah.
I'm happy if any of you want to make athletics or acrobatics.
And all I'm going to say, Carhilda, is an acrobatics check is a dex-based check, which you have advantage on.
I do have that advantage on that.
What an abracalad to give her that skill.
I think we're going to exhaust abracalad soon.
Yeah.
Never.
At the end of this episode.
We'll burn through it this episode and then we can forget about it.
We'll make our listeners sick of it.
You underestimate how annoying I can be, Ben.
We'll savour it like
a fine
wine.
We want to savour it so that we can actually have merch.
Yeah.
So as you're sort of all planning things out and looking at like other teams, you realise that essentially there's no queue anymore. Oh. You've watched one member of the other team manage to get over. As soon as they've reached a key, you've noticed that it is not the easiest thing to take one.
Oh.
To try and pull it out of the post, but then they do manage to get one, run back across with the posts bouncing up and down for them as well, and then manage to unlock a spoon, and their little team has a little whoa, and they go off quite happy. A little round of applause from the on watchers.
Carhilda, you got this.
But look, I can certainly give it a go, and if I don't get it, the rest of you can all have a go, and you've all got a bit of magic and what have you, so let's see what happens.
And we've all had a fun day, and we can all go for a drink.
It just seems like...
We're on the clock, Juno.
That's, yeah.
I'm trying to... Me, Vicky, is like, get the fuck on, do it, get the key, and let's get to lift the bell up the thing. I feel like Juno's a bit more like... Yeah, we're having a nice... And it's really hard for me to hold back just for the record.
Right. I think I've got all the things I could have. And what's the distance between poles?
3 feet.
3 feet. Hmm. Oh.
So it's not
my
far.
Height.
So really, being able to jump far actually isn't... I suppose I could maybe like I could go from avoid a pole and like go all the way over.
If you wanted to, you could try and jump, like, yeah, jump two poles at once.
Yeah. Carhilda! Carhilda!
So yeah, as you approach, the woman at the desk sort of takes the paper, takes your stamp. The piece of paper that you've been given is like a grid, and she writes in barrier bridge and then stamps your stamp next to it.
Oh.
And then hands it back to the team at least, so it's not going to get wet. But just reiterates, yeah, magic's all right, no flying, don't get wet, and if you fly, anyone watching can mess with you. Whenever you're ready.
Okay.
Side question. It's kind of like a loophole. If you use magic to fly, anyone can mess with you, but you're not disqualified.
No.
Okay.
Might be rolling initiative, though.
Bring it.
Bring it out.
It's tea time. It's competition time.
Like it's tea time.
Like it's tea time.
It's tea time.
I agree, that one's
yeah. It's tea time.
It's tea time.
All right, okay, yeah. Gwendolyn's going to go for it, and she's feeling pumped.
Amazing. Are you going to jump just one pole? Or are you going to jump two?
She's going to try and jump two.
Ooh,
can you make an athletics or an acrobatics check, please?
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I get advantage on my dex checks, right?
On dex checks, you get advantage right. for the dex next hour advantage. As long as I'm concentrating.
A natural 20 makes it 26. Yeah.
Amazing.
So there is this incredibly smooth moment where you just effortlessly just step off of the dock and just land two posts over.
Boom.
And yeah, it's the smoothest, like barely any effort into the leap, and a very gentle land on the post. It doesn't seem to move.
Ooh. Okay, great. In that case, she's going to try and do the same thing again.
Amazing. Another two.
Another two.
Cool.
That is a 22, but do I add my bless to this just in case? No, I'm going to stick with 22.
22? Yeah, you leap across again. Incredibly gentle, like, and the crowd at the edge are being like, "Oh, ah!" with every leap, then lots of muttering. Oh, yeah, that was very good. Oh, yes, yeah, a very good jump. Oh, I think she might make it in one. All those kinds of comments. Again, the post does not move.
Okay, does that mean I'm now one post away from a key?
So, yeah, you basically, if you jumped another two, you'd land on one with a key.
Ooh.
So you've got one like row of blank. And like these are the kind of like dotted forwards and backwards, so like in a crisscross pattern, so you don't have to go in like a straight line. It's been a little bit of like jumping here and there.
Okay.
But yeah, you've got like a row of keyless posts before any start with keys.
All right. She's going for a number double. She's trying to... A number double? Another double.
A number double.
Another double.
Another double.
A number never. Anyway.
Just for our info, DM, how far away is Carhilda / Gwen from us currently?
So she's currently about 20 feet or so.
Thank you.
And yeah, as she makes this last leap, she'll be roughly 30 feet away from you.
Just before she does, can I just start whipping out my flute and I'll just start playing a ditty, sort of like the bird song, you know, inspiring her in flight, making her feel, you know, light as air, and hopefully give her bardic inspiration?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a D6, nice. Right?
Yes, at my current level.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, hang on. No, it's a D8.
Oh.
So you've got a D8 and a D4 in your pocket if you need them, but you don't have to decide till you've rolled.
Yep, I think I'm going to use both of them. Oh, and I forgot I add my actual thing as well. I forgot to add I have been adding my acrobatics. I just forgot there.
How did I get to 22 if you didn't add anything?
Yeah, no.
Natural 22.
Okay. So 9 plus 2 plus 2 plus 6. That's a 19.
Ooh. Wow.
19. Ooh, okay. Oh. So yeah, you leap. There is a brief moment that you think, ooh, I might not make this. Ooh. Maybe I should have just gone for one. But then your foot just catches the edge. You sort of slide almost just across the top and your other foot like catches the edge of the pole. Just
the
enough.
Whoa, all at once.
Yeah, just enough. But yeah, between your feet, there are a selection of keys sort of tied to the end of the post.
Okay, I start. Oh, sugar. Do I pick them all up? I don't know.
It's up to you.
I start to try and untie them.
Wonderful.
Oh no, it's a thing is going to happen.
The post that you're on, as soon as you start like pulling at the strings and things that the keys are tied to, the post just starts slowly descending into the water.
Coda, let's go down.
Grab a key and jump.
Just get one.
I grab a key and jump.
Cool. Can you make a strength check to try and pull one of the keys free, please?
Oh, no advantage on that, I'm afraid.
No. Okay.
You got bardic inspiration. Have you used that already?
I just used it.
No.
Oh, damn.
And Kiddy starts preparing Thunderstep.
It's a six.
Oh, no.
A six.
Oh, no. No, you pull it. No, none of these keys are coming loose. The pole continues to descend into the water.
I jump back up onto a nearby pole.
Cool. Make another acrobatics check.
At advantage.
Can I see Enkidu like preparing this? Because I'm just going to take 5 steps to the right.
Oh gosh, yeah. Move back. Oh yeah, move the fuck back.
Yeah. Everyone starts. Yeah, you clear the crowd around Enkidu just in case.
Yep.
Unnatural 21 to jump back up.
Oh, very nice. Yep. So you manage to leap across to another pole. You kind of like grab it chest high because by that point you are so much lower than the top of it. But you grab it, pull yourself back up onto the top. And you watch as the one that you were on continues, dips into the water, and then returns slowly to where it was. But where you're stood, there are another selection of keys.
On the one that I'm on?
Yeah.
Okay. She's going to reach for one of her darts. No, I don't still have one of Enkidu's daggers. I think that is the
You've got the returning dart still, if that helps you. I don't know what you're trying to do, but that is still...
I'm looking for something active. Sharp so I can cut it off and not have to use my strength. Do I have scissors?
can Yuna like send Ruana over to help her?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, right. So Ruana starts sort of circling.
Yep. An owl Hacking. Comes over to you.
Now, was it when I touched the key or the string or both, basically, that it started to
bit descend? Of both. Okay. Yeah. As soon as like you kind of like reached down and like grabbed stuff to try and get it loose, that's when the pole started moving.
Ruana just sort of stands by Gwyn as if, like, with a lassie look of what do you want me to do?
Yeah, okay. on like, another nearby pole. Like,
yeah.
Enkidu's, like, got lightning crackling around his feet and he's just standing there like, what do I do? Do I let go? Do I cast a spell? What do I do? And he's, like, really intense, like, I'm just holding on.
If I see Enkidu doing that, which I think I do if you've got lightning coming out of you, I'm just going to say, each team member can only attempt it once. If you go in, I think that's your attempt. I could be wrong. Just so you know.
Fuck it. I can go with 90 feet.
He's gonna fart! Everyone back off!
How far can I go?
Definitely within 90 feet you'd reach any of the keys.
Yeah. I've jumped to one that Kahil does not.
Amazing. Can you make a dexterity saving throw, please?
Oh no. Oh no, that's a 9.
So you, Kahilda, as you're sort of like there,
kind of
Rowena's just come over.
Okay, right, and then
taking a moment, gather yourself.
Gathering your decorum.
You hear a crackling and thunder, turn around, and Enkidu lands like 1 foot just off of a pole and falls straight into the water.
Brilliant. Enkidu! Oh,
it's like, just this far up. Like, you could see that, like, 1 foot was planted and the other one, nope.
Oh,
it's like an outtake on Total Wipeout.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Such a low roll. But yeah, Kyle, like, Ruana's there as now looking at you, like, what do you want me to do?
Gwendolyn is, Carter Hilda Gwendolyn. I suppose she's still Gwendolyn, but she's not calling it. Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, my character.
who is she?
She kind of like just takes that moment to like just look at what happened to Enkidu, suppress a laugh, check that he like you know he. I mean, he doesn't need to breathe, so he's not drowning, so he's going to be okay. And she returns back to the task at hand.
He might get rusty.
Sister, okay, Ruana, hopefully you can kind of understand me. I'm going to, as quickly as I can, grab the key and pull the string taut. I need you to bite into that key straight away. Not the key, the string, I mean. Sorry, I'm excited. Yes, bite into the string straight away, and then I'm going to jump. Okay? We need to do this as quickly as we possibly can.
She nods.
Right.
I'm assuming she could do that?
Yeah.
Okay. In 3, 2, 1, go!
Peck, 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 peck,
so
peck,
peck. Can Ruana make an attack roll, please?
Ooh, yeah.
I know it's not necessarily something familiars can do, but like just in this idea of like just trying to break a string. Absolutely, make an attack roll.
Talons, melee weapon attack.
Yeah.
And I'm holding it taut to help work better.
And as you pulled it, again, the post that you're on starts descending slowly into the water.
21.
21, yes. Amazing. And what damage do you do?
Kill the key.
1 hit point slashing damage.
Cool.
So what? You can't roll.
Yeah, feel free to roll if it's 1D1 got like a...
1d1 slashing damage. I've just
looked what it says.
1d1
really?
Slashing damage.
I thought you were joking. 1d1?
Yeah. No.
Well, that's just going to be
that's
a 1.
But is my strength going at it as well? So should I be rolling a strength check at the same time?
Well, the strength check is... Oh, if you want to try and like, pull it off.
Because I'm pulling it at the same time as she's doing that.
Absolutely. Make
Also, that's talons and this is beak acting like scissors.
Sure. Make a because you already rolled. Make a strength strength check, Gwen.
7.
7. Yeah. So it like again, it's just continuing to descend. Again, you can both make another check if you like.
I'm gonna try one more check.
Before it hits the water.
Yeah. That's 19.
Ooh.
19. So that's a second point of damage.
The rolls are great.
Yeah.
It's just
no small rolls here from you.
No damage. No.
I got an
what'd you get?
Actual one, so that's a 2 total. Oh no.
Would you rather fall into the water as you're trying to like pull it back to like hold it taut and pull it off, or would you rather accidentally knee Ruana in the face?
I'm getting a thumbs up from Vicky, so I'm going to knee Ruana in the face by accident.
Ruana,
can you? I don't know what her hit points are, but can you roll?
I've got the stats
a
in front of me. The hit points of an owl is the same as the attack.
Oh no!
So she just pops out of existence.
Yeah, just the bird gone. Vanishes. Unfortunately. So yeah, it's you're getting very close to the water, Gwendolyn.
I'm going
to
jump.
Can you make an acrobatics check then, please?
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Natural 20. Plus 6, so 26.
Flipping, amazing.
Is that far? Do I need to spend a key point to step of the wind?
No, okay. 26 is more than enough. And again, it's like one of those you jump onto the side of the pole and then shimmy yourself up.
Okay, woohoo. Have I got a key?
No.
You've got key points?
No, unfortunately not.
DM?
Yeah.
Am I underwater or can I have
you've fallen in. You've like, your head has come up out of the water. And what you can see is... further down at the start of the posts, there is somebody sat in a boat that's kind of like had helped other people out. And some of the posts nearby had like formed into steps up to the rest of the bridge. So you just kind of,
I might stay in the water for a sec. Is anyone watching me swim around?
There's, you know, there's a fair crowd who are, laughing and jeering at you a little bit. But what would you like to do down there?
Kahilda?
Yeah?
Should I shoot?
Yeah, like if you can try and shoot at a platform with a key on and try and break it off, that might work.
David's face, like, I can't wait for you to try. All right. Well, just to be sure. Oh, shoot. 2 shots. Is Kahilda on a platform with keys?
Yeah, she's on a separate platform with keys, but yeah, roughly where you've fallen in, all of the platforms around you have got keys on.
Yeah, go for a platform that I'm not on, please.
Okay, I'll shoot for the one nearest to her with 2 shots of Eldritch Blast.
Amazing, yeah, make some attacks.
One's a 14.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is a 23.
Oh, amazing, roll damage for both.
Oh no, I destroyed the pole. it's a D10 now.
D10 for each beam, yeah.
As if the thing holding me back is just not having scissors.
So that's... 12 for one.
Amazing.
And 10 for the other.
Yeah, so as like sort of the blasts go off against the top of this pole, 3 keys fall down into the water with you.
Oh, no. For fuck's sake. I thought we'd... well, never mind. do you want an extra hand? I'm not...
Can we see this?
Yeah.
In the how, like, is it the river? Is it the deep river?
You all see Kahilda just face palm as they fall into the water.
The river is fairly deep, but yeah. You see the keys fall into the top of the water. They float for a moment, but then fairly quickly sink under.
Okay.
I thought you would catch it as I shot. But okay. Well,
I was too far away.
All right, I'm just going to swim. Just gonna swim.
Bye, Enkidu.
Just gonna swim.
Can we see it from the bank?
Yeah. You can all see it from where, like, you are stood up on the bridge. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna look at Juna and go, I think I can do this, but because I love this spell that you did the other day, and I've been really working on this, so I'm gonna try my best. Okay. And then he starts playing his flute again, and all of a sudden his form starts to shimmer, and then he sort of like shrinks until he becomes an otter. Whoa. As I cast polymorph on myself. And I jump into the water and I go as fast as I can.
Before he jumps, she gives him a little stroke and gives him guidance, if she's allowed to give more guidance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been used, yes, isn't it?
You can.
Yeah, you can give a creature.
Oh, it's been used. It has been used.
I've used it on Gwen.
Yeah, but Gwen's used it,
but it's finished.
Gwen's
cool. Used it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because it's concentration.
Cool. But...
before he goes in, he does that adorable thing where, like, he rubs his whole face forward and, like, rubs his nose and then jumps into the water. Amazing. And tries to get towards where the keys went down.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Amazing. Wow. Yeah, so this little otter goes suddenly swimming through all of the poles. And all the posts. You reach roughly where Enkidu is, and Enkidu, this little otter, comes swimming past you, dives down, like, moments later pops up with a string and a key in its mouth.
Ooh.
I don't know what sound they make.
That was a great
noise. That's a great noise. Mm. They make that noise.
Yeah, I do now. The otter with me. Cup it. Keep it secret, keep it safe. Just carry on swimming back to dry land.
Yeah. Back to the boat, back to the steps.
Gwen is still on the post, right?
Gwen is still stood watching all of this happen on the post.
The keys are going further away from her.
Yeah. Okay. Also, you can't get wet, so that's one of the rules.
Is that one of the rules?
Yeah. So Enkidu and Gaius, you both return, climb up the few steps, walk over quite proudly with the key.
Wait. I was going to use prestidigitation to have a gust of wind. Just try to blow dry the both of us.
The otter's fur just goes to one side as well.
As you both sort of pass over with the key, the woman at the desk sort of offers to take your your stamps and all of that kind of thing. Then stamps both of your stamps onto the try, chucks the key back down to the guy in the boat, and goes, "You both got wet."
Both? What do you mean both? Oh, did they?
You and the otter.
The otter. It's just an otter, right? Did Enkidu see Gaius transform? Because I was in the water. I don't know if I would have seen
Enkidu.
No idea.
It's just
an otter. Like, what do you mean both? What's going on?
This is so much more crazy than I thought this was going to be.
Yeah, the otter's just going to climb up his, like, leg and curl around his neck.
Oh,
she's very friendly.
He looks very angry. But he's nestling into his
friend. It's all right. It's fine. You know, you were trying to help. It's okay. Keen is very confused, but he's just holding onto this otter in his hand. Let's go join. Come meet my friends.
Has he got a tiny mask on? does he have like markings that kind of like a little mask?
I was trying to think. He has one violet eye and one blue eye.
Hang on, so the otter has a fox eye.
Well, I think like he can change his form. He likes it, I guess.
Okay, cool.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. And like a little bit of fur on his face that looks slightly mask-like.
And ever so slightly pointed ears. Like whatever he takes, he always has ever so slightly pointed ears.
Oh, and a lute.
How are you doing, Carhilda, all the way out there for all this time?
Meanwhile, she's
watched what's gone on. She's started miming back to Juna and Orin like scissors.
Hang on.
Juna holds up a dagger and waves it and goes,
She Orin shrugs
and frantically looks through his backpack.
Okay, what Juna's
Can
gonna
you
do?
Get it here safely.
Yeah, Juna's gonna put the dagger in her mouth.
Hang on.
And do something. Okay. Oh no, are you gonna do something, Orin?
I just thought Aggie could take it over. That was all.
Alright.
That's a better idea.
She puts it in Aggie and the staff back.
I don't know what you're gonna do, Juna. No, feel free.
No, this is a much more sensible idea.
Okay.
I was about to turn myself into an ape.
Oh. Okay.
But let's see what Carhilda does, and then I'll take my turn when it's my turn.
Okay, yeah, well, I'm hoping this doesn't count as my turn.
No, because Aggie is not part of you.
Yeah, this is just Aggie's turn, right? No?
Yeah.
And the person at the desk is like, oh, yeah, you can send help. Just,
oh.
Obviously, your two friends there both went out and tried to get the keys themselves, so.
Oh, yeah.
This otter's just an... Oh, so confused.
This guy, Enkidu, look him in the eyes and you'll see.
And then I hold him up, and I just hold him up. Oh, it is you.
I start to wriggle around because I like the grip. And then I just get back on his shoulder and just sit there.
Juna puts the dagger in Aggie.
Yeah, Aggie will grab it in her beak and then fly over to the pillow that Kyle is on.
Yeah.
Dagger in mouth.
And yeah, so Aggie comes like floating over, covering around you, Gwendolyn.
Oh, thanks, Aggie. Right. Okay. Let's just give this another go. And
hang on, I've got some scissors.
Oh.
Flying toolbox.
Aggie will fly back over again with some scissors from my thieves' tools. These tools contain scissors.
Do I hear that?
Up to you.
Oh, even I've got thieves' tools.
You've got scissors then.
Oh, I've got scissors too.
Gwen, I mean, Kyle, look in your thieves' tool set.
Okay.
If you got it from the same shop I got mine, you've got scissors in there.
Oh gosh, I haven't used it in such a long time. Oh yes, scissors and
a dagger. Is it from our goose? I got mine from Argus.
From Argus.
Oh, God. Argus.
No. Don't shake your head at me, DM.
I'm shaking.
It's really good. No.
Honk.
I'm so on board.
It's canon. Argus exists in the world. Get on with it.
So, Gwendolyn, looking with the dagger in one hand and the pair of scissors in the other, the dagger definitely looks sharper.
Okay. I'm going dagger. Is there anything that I can do that makes me... Like, can I spend a key point to do Step of the Wind as part of my attack to, like, do it so fast?
I'll say that you could... A dagger counts as a monk weapon, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've already got slightly higher damage there.
Oh, yeah.
How many attacks can you do at once?
So I can do my attack, I can do my extra attack, and I can spend a bonus point as well.
To do punching.
Yeah. So I can do three attacks in a round.
Whoa.
So I'd say with a dagger, you could do two because then the extra attack is always an unarmed strike.
Yeah, and that can be like my strength pulling
to try
it,
and pull it. Exactly. So if you want to make two attack rolls against this string.
Okay.
And then, once you've done the two, I'll tell you whether or not you need to yank it or not.
Okay. Wait.
Oh.
No.
That's what he said. Stop it.
Let's see if I hit. That is 18.
Bloody not.
18 hits.
Yeah.
Okay. Roll some damage.
What's the plus for a dagger?
It's your dexterity. And proficiency.
And then it's 1d4.
Slashing.
It would be a d6 plus dexterity damage.
Wow.
Because it's a monk weapon.
Brilliant.
Damage. 5.
Cool. You'll need to make the second attack.
Yeah.
This string is strong.
Yeah.
It's like it's almost like cord.
Okay, that's a 23 to hit.
Yeah.
23 definitely hits.
Already lost 2 hit points from Ruan.
And that is 8 points of damage.
Ooh.
8 points, yeah. So the first one cuts most of the way through the cord, but then rather than trying to yank it even more, you're like, right, another quick slice, and yeah, the whole key comes free in your hand.
Fantastic. I jump off onto another platform.
Amazing. I was going to say, that post again starts descending super slowly. Can you make an acrobatics check? Are you jumping one or two posts?
Yeah, I'm going to jump two.
Going to jump two. Amazing. Okay.
At advantage still.
13.
And I'm going to use my flash of genius if Gwen is near enough to me to add 5 to her roll. So Oren is going to shout out, if you bend your knees when you land, it might help. Just try and step, like, you got the sticky thing on the bottom of the boots, just lean into it.
Okay, and what is that? I add a what?
You just add 5.
Just add a 5?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
And she's within range.
That is Abracalad.
That is Abracalad.
That's an 18.
18, just. And with with Oren, because you try jumping too, with Oren shouting that out, you're like, ooh, okay, yep. Yeah. And you slightly slip as you, like, hit the pole and then bend your knees.
and it moves.
That's good advice, Sorin. Well done.
Okay, then I jump again.
It moves directly upward, so can you make a strength saving throw to hold on, please?
Why does it have to be strength? Yes, strength saving throw.
You got this, Carhilda!
The otter's like...
10.
A 10. So you get thrust into the air.
Okay.
And for anybody else, you can imagine that they would fall quite rapidly off of the pole. But whilst you have come off of it, the pole returns to its normal height and you slow fall. I'm going to let you make a acrobatics check to land on one of the other poles.
Okay.
This is amazing.
Oh my God, this is so epic.
This is so good.
Okay.
It's so much.
That is an 18.
18, yeah. You definitely land on one, but you are still, you're three away from the shore, from the bridge.
Okay.
Kyhilda, which one are you going to jump onto next?
Well, if I use Step of the Wind, can I jump like three?
You can certainly try.
Oh, that's going to be really putting... No, actually, I'm going to go one at a time because I'm just putting the challenge rating up higher, aren't I?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
So which one are you jumping onto next?
One next to me. Don't want to risk it this time.
How far is that from us?
It's about 10 feet, roughly.
Oh, right. Mage Hand goes out just because she wants to pass something to it to bring it back in case she doesn't make the jumps back.
Nice.
Nice.
Have I seen what the pillar that she's about to jump onto does? From a previous contestant?
No. And from previous contestants, you can see that all of the posts can do all of these things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I am going to pull my Dispel Magic wand out of my bag and point it at the post she's about to jump onto and try and dispel the magic on the post if I can.
Yeah, give it a go.
At third level.
Third level, okay.
That's the lowest level.
Unless it's like a wing throat mechanical malarkey.
Do I have to make a save for it? Sorry.
Choose any creature, object, or magical effect within range. Any spell of third level or lower on the target ends. For each spell of fourth level or higher on the target, make an ability check using your spellcasting ability. The DC equals 10 plus the spell's level. On a successful check, the spell ends. So
yeah, make a quick check for me then, please.
17. So if it's a 7th level or below
then it, yeah.
What?
So you can see whatever it is that is powering this particular post, the post itself just kind of like judders a little bit, and you get the impression that the magic is not working on it momentarily.
Gwendolyn jumps onto that pole.
Amazing. Can you still make an acrobatics check?
Swish.
That is a 23.
Yes.
Very easily done. And yep, you land on it. You are now basically one leap away. There is one empty pole in front of you and then the shore. So you're like, do I just do one at a time or can I jump right the way there?
I'm going to try and jump straight to the shore.
Amazing.
And I'm going to spend a key point to like help me just like go even further.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm trying to get as far onto that shore. Like I don't want any like tricksy things happening.
Juno holds one hand up to the like massive crowd to be like silent.
Mage Hand disappears. It's not helpful here.
That is a 15.
And Orin once again shouts, just make sure when you're jumping as well that you remember the bungee at the back of your legs.
What?
Add a 5.
And as Gwendolyn leaps over the first pole, even though she has not landed on it, she sails right over, but then it suddenly punches upwards. Just gets you in the ankle. And like, there is a horrible crunch for you, Gwendolyn, but you do collide with the bridge and like, belly first, pull yourself upwards. And yeah, it really hurts.
Oh no.
But you are back on the shore with a key.
Oh my gosh.
Juno instantly lays her hands on the ankle and casts Cure Wounds on it and like goes to work with like splinting it and all of that kind of shit.
She's trying.
Do I need to roll or is it just a sort of fix it kind of scenario?
Yeah, no, it's just a kind of fix it scenario and like minimal hit points. Just, just enough that it just really stings. And even with like the splints and stuff, Gwen, as you sort of stand up, there is like, it doesn't feel quite right.
She kind of like growls through gritted teeth, just like in pain, just like, ooh. But she stands up as tall as she can and she hands over that key as she's through the pain.
Yeah! Juno starts cheering. Yeah! Cahilda! Cahilda! Cahilda!
And the person at the desk grabs one of the spoons, like, unlocks it for you, hands it over to you, and goes, "You're right. That looked painful."
Yeah, I'm fine. She feels a bit queasy.
Well done, though.
Thanks.
That's a spoon. Congratulations, all.
Great. I couldn't have done it without my team. They're amazing.
Let's get you sat down, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. She's trying to hold it together, but she is.
Some medical assistance.
Is there a strawberry daiquiri in the house? We need a strawberry daiquiri.
Oh, I would love a drink right now.
Is there any drinks of any descriptions around, David?
Somebody get me a drink now.
Not on the bridge that you're on. Obviously, there's the knotted strings you could go back to, or you could head further on to the other side of the bridge. It's up to you to go and find a tavern, but you at least know where the knotted strings is, and it's not too far, maybe about a 10-minute walk.
Maybe we take you back there for a sit down. Yeah. I think you don't look like in a good state. We'll get you a drink, we'll sit you down, and maybe we can go and have a look at this bell while you have a rest.
Yeah, that sounds like a brilliant idea. I would definitely feel like I've outdone myself for today. She says
you did so well. I am so in awe of your
honestly
dexterity, monk ability.
I should have used dispel magic on that second pillar.
I couldn't get anything out of
it. Was you were all amazing. What a team. And such great ideas. Thank you all. I felt so supported out there by every single one of you
guys. Gonna like scurry down, scurry up her stature, and then like sit on her shoulder and like put his four hands out to like hook her head as she's walking.
Oh.
Almost like a one-sided like ear muffin, just like
so cute. Yeah. Gwendolyn's kind of like, she's really struggling. She could definitely use somebody to help her walk a little bit, but she's being too proud to ask for help.
Oh, no.
Would you like my quarterstaff?
Oh, I couldn't take that from you, Juno. Surely you need it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, yes. Thank you.
Does it reach the floor when you hold it?
I don't know.
Because you're the tallest member of the party.
Yeah, I'm the tallest member of the party.
Well, no, for Juno, it sort of goes above her head, so it would be more of a walking stick for Gwen.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on to the gem at the top.
But it is a massive deal that she has offered it to her.
Okay.
She does not offer it to any old person.
So, you limp back through the streets. And even again, when you arrive at the knotted strings, there is another queue that has formed since you told other people to go away.
You tried.
But as you sort of like, finish crossing sort of through the city, there is a small alarm, almost like a bell alarm going off in the distance that you can hear.
Huh?
And as you sort of look back across the river, there is a small amount of like smoke coming from something.
Oh.
That definitely I wasn't there before. Some kind of fire going on, but doesn't seem too panicked, but you all work your way, like nobody else around you seems to notice anything.
Strange.
But you work your way into the knotted strings, sit down at a table, settle yourself in, go and grab Gwendolyn a drink. Is there anything particular that you want, Cahilda?
I mean, do they do strawberry daiquiris?
Of course they do strawberry daiquiris.
No, but do they do real... Of course, Junie. Do they do real strawberry daiquiris?
And Keely just raises his eyebrows like...
Yes, they do.
Okay.
I'll get you
Line them up. Line them up.
Guy, do you want to come to pay?
Yes.
The otter guy?
Yes, because I told... Oh, yeah, he's an otter, actually, yeah.
I think that's an interesting one. Has his gold transformed when he transformed?
Oh, his whole form transformed, so he couldn't have a loop, possibly. Yeah. I've looked into this, because it's the first time that he's ever done this spell, I don't think he knows it well, so I'm going to just check if he can, like, come back in form or whether he just holds out the full hour.
He can. We discussed this when I was a walrus. You can choose to drop it.
Oh, all right. Yeah, fair enough. All right, in that case, then, he, like, comes back into his form.
Still attached to Gwendolyn's neck.
Oh, no.
He does like a graceful leap off as he like transforms.
Nice.
But he does...
Very Professor McGonagall leaping from the desk.
But he does like do the same thing with his hands where he's like, he rubs his ears and then like rubs his snout and then pushes his like hands forward as if to like, he's still got like moisture on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like a daughter. Yeah, okay, fine. I guess I did tell you that I've got some gold, so yeah, sure. Okay.
We're relying on you, Gaius.
Juno takes him up to the bar, orders 5 beers, changes them into strawberry daiquiris by minor illusion, and brings them back to the table.
Amazing.
Juno, they've got strawberry daiquiris on the menu. Oh, fine.
Have they got strawberry daiquiris on the menu, David?
You didn't ask, oh so. My gosh. Yes, up on the wall it says strawberry daiquiri under cocktails. But...
Is that what it says? Okay, I will get Gwendolyn a strawberry daiquiri as well.
Amazing.
And so prestidigitates his beer into actual beer. Let's just drink as it is.
So yeah, Juno returns with five beer strawberry daiquiri flavored beers. Guy then follows shortly after with an actual strawberry daiquiri. And you all settle down, just sort of having a brief moment of rest, Gwendolyn nursing your foot. Mm-hmm. And someone walks in that catches everybody's attention, only because you've never actually seen a goblin before.
Ooh.
And that's where we're going to end the episode.
Wow. Okay.
Fine. Ooh. Yes, yay. Character.
Little goblin.
Sounds like the start of a joke. A goblin and the
paper flies walking into a bar.
You have been listening to David Knight as your Dungeon Master, Ben Galpin as Orin, Chris Watts as Gaius, Daryl Bailey as Enkidu, Grace Kelly Miller as Gwendolyn, and Vicky Gaskin as Juna. Original music by David Knight. Please tell your friends, subscribe, and follow us on all the social media. Thank you for listening to No Small Roles. Anon for now.
Anon!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.